This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. A self-driving car has to decide whether to protect occupants or bystanders in some crashes. An artificial intelligence could discriminate against women job applicants, a story we covered the other day. Well, the powerful trade and tech organization, the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers, has just come up with a new ethics certification process. It's designed to help engineers make technology that, on balance, helps rather than hurts and is transparent about the assumptions built in. John Havens is executive director of the IEEE's Artificial Intelligence and Robot Ethics Project. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure to be here.
What can I say here? This is about what? Putting human needs first when it comes to autonomous robot self-driving technology?
Well, I think in general, it's sort of an idea of a contract, right? When you buy a piece of technology and bring it into your home, the expectation is it will be safe and all that. But with autonomous and intelligent systems, there's just new things that people have to understand are trustworthy. So certification is basically a valid peer-reviewed validation where both sides say, hey, this is what this thing is supposed to do. Here's A. B is we're proving that it's doing A.
And part of this is, I read, transparency. But another thing is reporting your algorithmic bias. Give me a sense of what that really means.
Sure. Well, first off, bias tends to have, understandably, a negative connotation to it sometimes because we hear it about racial bias, which usually implies racism. But we're all biased, right? You and I are both from the West, for instance, or if you're male. Being biased, again, you have to recognize what these things are so that you can say, what are the negative aspects of bias, which could then influence not just how the technology is created, but how it's interpreted once it's being used by a particular person.
So, for instance, as engineers work on autonomous vehicles, self-driving cars and trucks, they have to program in different, I would say, preferences. If a self-driving car has a choice of saving the occupants of the car in an impending crash, but at the expense of killing pedestrians, would the certification program demand that we know about that particular choice?
Yeah, I think the point is that you're bringing up a famous, what's called the trolley problem. And the logic is to write out all the potential scenarios that could happen. And the logic is you never want to have to make those types of choices. But right now, a lot of times those conversations happen outside the context of how many humans, unfortunately, are killed with cars as they are right now. So the logic is being assisted. It's sort of a yes end. It's always intended to be a complement with these certifications or these sort of contracts, as I said them, or a handshake to say, look, we the people creating the technology are doing even more due diligence to try to be safe and trusted before you bring this stuff, you know, home for you and your family.
So this is the famous trolley problem as it was originally posed. I gave it as a self-driving car problem. But the way the technology answers that question, is that something that the certification process wants to know more about or wants the end user to know more about?
In a sense, I'll give you an example. It's more of a cultural thing than an ethics. You know, a lot of times people think of ethics as morals, where a lot of our work is to reframe ethics. There's a phrase called values-based design or values-sensitive design or even end-user or participant design. The assumption amongst engineers and programmers, of course, there's so many great standards and certifications around risk and harm. But a quick cultural example, which I think beyond the tunnel or the trolley problem, as you mentioned, is recently autonomous vehicles were tested in Australia. And the LIDAR, the technology that's used to sense the autonomous vehicle surroundings, hadn't been programmed to recognize kangaroos. So the big kind of like bouncing, jumping around motions weren't recognized, whereas I'm based in Jersey, so like squirrel darting motions were we're recognized. But the point is that you have to ask even more questions than you have before when you have these new types of technologies. And that list of certification, I mean, you might get this granular. Are there kangaroos in the region where you're releasing this? And that actually goes back to safety. It's just a different type of safety question than some people may have asked before. But that's the due diligence, writing out these long lists, in one sense, is what a certification is to say also, how will this tool, system, product be interpreted in, say, U.S. market versus a China market, where there may be very different cultural aspects, where the harm is not necessarily physical, but it could be something like an affront to someone's culture. And quick example there is, if you build a robot that has something like eyes, in the States, we look at each other in the eyes as a sign of respect. That's how we talk to each other. In many Asian cultures, looking directly in someone's eyes could be considered rude. So if you build a robot whose eyes were looking straight into your eyes and you sent it to Asia, it might freak people out and they wouldn't use it. It's not actually harming them physically, but it's a new type of cultural awareness that happens with this rethinking of design that we're focused on.
Among the many things that's just so interesting about this is that as the technology advances, it requires human beings to decide what are our values and what are our values in different countries. We have to actually define them and be aware of them.
Yeah, I wrote a book called Artificial Intelligence. And to your point, the central question that I asked is, how will machines know what we value if we don't know ourselves? And it's often shocking to me when I do talks about our work and I'll ask people, give me a list of your 10 top values. And it's pretty easy, the first three or four. People are like, my family, my faith, integrity, honesty. And by about like number six, people are like, I like Game of Thrones. Is that a value? And I'm like, I'm also a fan. But when you list out these things, then you begin to see the interpretation of the values when they're manifested as a piece of technology. So we have this paper called Ethically Aligned Design. The first or final draft will be available, or a version will be available in February. We've crowdsourced the first two versions. Over 1,000 people have touched it. And a big part of this is this idea of thinking about values. And especially when you come from the West, all ethics questions, like the tunnel one you brought up, or the trolley as it's now called, oftentimes, especially in Western media, is coming from a Greek background of ethics, meaning Western ethics. Whereas when we have over 50 members from China and Korea who have brought so much insight to our work, you get this sense of like, hey, by the way, the entire other side of the planet and the global South has things called Confucian ethics or Ubuntu ethics. And it's a reframing of how we even, the paradigm of how we come to these questions. And so it's when you ask those questions that much more, this is where the word safety or trust can really be elevated to more global levels. And that's what IEEE is about with consensus building globally, is to say, we don't know what we don't know yet, but we have to ask.
And when it comes to values, there are also economic values. And in one of the guiding documents for your certification program here, there's this imperative that technology should be governed by, I think it's listed as holistic economic prosperity, not just guided by a single factor like increasing gross domestic product. Tell me more about that.
What's exciting is when you start to think about what's the lens of when you create something, and then what is the sort of key performance indicator? Like, that's kind of business jargon. But the basic idea is, what are we building and why? And if one builds anything, and this is not just about autonomous and intelligent systems, we're kind of the bottom line, or what people call the single bottom line, or if you get to know GDP, a lot of what the focus is on is productivity. Is this bad or wrong? That's irrelevant. Those terms don't make sense for an engineer, and especially people building this stuff. It's how are we building this? What are the criteria for building it and the criteria for success? So GDP, if you're mainly thinking about productivity, especially exponential growth, meaning quick and broad, that is a choice. It's a principle. It's a value. As compared to, in the business world, the phrase of triple bottom line, people, planet, and profit, it means that instead of just sort of saying we care about people and the planet, because of course companies, organizations care about those things, it's saying that society, government, not just corporations or businesses, government has to say these three things are equal in the same sense the key performance indicators of at the end of every quarter, people going to their shareholders or policymakers say, we have to elevate the planet and people to be at the same level as profit. Profit's still important. But if those three things have the same level of prioritization, that's where there's a better chance to have holistic prosperity for a society than with just one of those measures.
So some of the technology that would be impacted by this hurts the head of the non-engineers. Does this idea about bringing ethics to bear on what you're designing hurt the heads of the engineers? I mean, some of the engineers I've met would like to solve the technical problem and not perhaps think more widely about its impact.
It's a great question. I think, you know, I don't want to say like, it's a silver bullet. It's easy. You know, but I think our message is, look, it's the IEEE. It's the heart of the global engineering community for over 130 years. And it's saying, look, don't tell an engineer about risk, right? Because the old joke about you don't build the bridge to fall down. Engineers know ethics. They have professional codes of ethics. IEEE just updated or redid their codes of ethics to include aspects of autonomous and intelligent systems. The point is as a complement to the people creating this technology is to say, You weren't trained in applied ethics. You weren't trained in social sciences. But when you build something like a phone, for instance, how the phone screen affects someone in terms of addiction, there's no way of knowing if you are, you know, a person from a certain background, how the thing you're creating will affect someone from a social science aspect, unless you have a social scientist on the team. So in our work, the 1,000 people I mentioned were thrilled that it's a cross-pollination of academics, policymakers, business people, and people from these different disciplines. My dad, he's passed away, but he was a psychiatrist. So I'm always excited when a psychiatrist or social scientist comes into our conversations. That said, sometimes the engineers aren't excited about the ethicists and vice versa. But here's the thing. Even in English, even Westerners in English, those conversations that we're having, which really come down to values, how are we building what we're building now? How are we interpreting what's being built, engineers and social scientists? Once they can talk to each other, and they are, and that's what ethically aligned design is, and these standards working groups that have been been inspired by that document, it's like a first step of saying, look, everyone has to work together because this is new stuff we're facing as a species, and values can't be interpreted by one discipline alone.
John Havens is one of the architects of the Ethics Certification Program for Autonomous and Intelligent Systems at the IEEE. He's also author of Heartificial Intelligence, that's the word heart there at the beginning, Embracing Our Humanity to Maximize Machines. John Havens, thank you.
My pleasure.